children are dismissed to children's church, and while they do that, I just want to say again, good morning. I must admit, I felt a little bit hindered this morning as I was sitting there in the pews singing worship with y'all, and I thought, I just want to stay there. It feels great being in the body. It feels great being down there with all of you and hearing your voices lifted up in praise. You know, I also felt hindered as I thought, all of you are about to be able to sit down, and I need to stand up for another 20 to 30 minutes, and my feet hurt already. But here's the thing. Sometimes we greatly feel hindered in life, but God is still calling us to do great things. God is still calling us to move, and sometimes that's out of our comfort zone, and we still need to listen to what God is telling us to do and move forward. Now, I want to start with asking y'all a question. Yes, I just said y'all. Do you ever feel hindered? I mean, do you ever feel like you have these barriers in your way, these obstructions in your way? Do you feel like there's something more you should be doing in life, but you just feel like something's holding you back? Maybe you feel like you have more to give, more to offer, more to contribute, more to debate, more to perform, more to act upon. But then in life, you look to yourself, and you just think, how? How do I get past these barriers? Do you ever feel like there's something more to do for your faith? How about that? Something more to give, something more to discover, something more to get out of your faith. Well, we're looking at a new series today about living free and being hindered. And I want you to discover through God's word how we're not called to a lukewarm faith. Tim, you were just talking about this past week on your Thursday morning Bible study. I encourage anybody that can come 7:30 a.m. Thursday mornings at Main Street Cafe. Men, you're invited. Wonderful study through Revelation right now. God does not call us to live these bound lives, captured lives, chained lives. We are called to be living a life unhindered. But so many of us, we feel hindered within these lives. We don't feel like we're living free. And let me tell you this good news. You're not alone. You're not alone in this. Maybe you feel like you're stuck, but you're not alone. In fact, throughout the centuries, thousands, hundreds of thousands of believers have felt this way. In fact, in the 16th century, there was an entire Reformation movement about this very idea that they felt stuck in their faith, like there's more to it. There's more they can be getting from their faith, and there's more they can be doing because of their faith. As we think about that hindered idea, I think about a few illustrations, a few things. First, I wrote down, I thought about this idea. Imagine a bull, the biggest, beefiest, see what I did there? Bull you can think of. Stuck in a pen, wanting to get out, wanting to chase down that individual that jumps the fence. I hope that's not you. I'd be tempted, but I'd be smart enough, I hope, not do it. That bull, he is hindered by a pen. He's hindered by a gate, but he doesn't want to be stuck in that little confined area. He wants to run. He wants to roam. He wants to do what bulls do. Well, how about another illustration? I was thinking about a jet on an airplane, an aircraft carrier. And so often, anybody like these movies or these documentaries about jets and airplanes and pilots, it's amazing what they do. But I've seen these videos where these pilots, they crank up the engines. You see the flames coming out the back end of those turbines, those engines, but they're not going yet until they get released. And then they just soar. Literally, they fly. They go from 0 to 60 in, I don't know, 2 seconds. Because they have so much pinned up energy within them. Speaking of pinned up energy, how about one more illustration? Think about a racehorse in the gates, waiting to be released, waiting for what lies ahead of them, the race. That racehorse is meant to run. But the gate is hindering them from moving forward within their life, from running the race that they're meant to race. The gate is holding the horse back. It's an obstruction. Maybe this is too many, but I'm giving you one more illustration, so hopefully you grasp hold of one of these, and that's NASCAR. as I was writing these out, I thought about NASCAR. I thought about a race. And I'm not a NASCAR guy, so I hope I get this correct. But I thought about the racers going around that circular track with a pace car in front of them, keeping them in line, keeping them in their formation where they're supposed to be. And those racers, they want to go, but they can't go yet. They need to wait till that flag is waved. They need to wait till that pace car goes off, and then they go. So many times in our own life, we have pace cars in front of us. We have invisible hindrances in front of us. We have hindrances, we have pins, we have gates, we have something that just keeps us from moving forward. Well, today we're starting a four-week series called Live Free. We're talking about unhindered kingdom living. And this is using as large part a jump point in Scripture of Acts 28:31, which says this. It says of Paul that he was proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness, without hindrance. Let me pray as we get started. Lord God, we thank you for this scripture. We thank you for this challenge from the life of Paul here and the life of the disciples, the life of the early church, which did not just study their faith, but they acted out their faith without hindrance. We pray for you to convict us and teach us, encourage us, challenge us, lead us in the direction we are to go by the light of your word, by the light of your grace. And it's in your holy and powerful name we pray. All God's people said, amen. Amen. So as you can already see, we're using the book of Acts as a jumping point, but we're going to be all over scripture. So I've got some references on the screen here today, and I'm just going to ask you, write them down, look them up later, just listen. I could not put them all on the screen. I'm not going to ask you to open up to one scripture. If you want to open up to one, you can go to Acts chapter 28, 30 to 31. But we're going to be jumping around a lot today as we look to see how our lives as Christians, unhindered, living free, having kingdom living, should be having everything about us pointing to the life of Christ. That's what we see in the book of Acts. We see everything pointing to the life of Christ, just as it should, just as we should. Acts, it's a story of the disciples, early disciples, who had their world turned upside down by a new revolutionary way of living, a new leader who was unlike anyone who came before. And they would live for this idea of love, forgiveness, salvation, through grace. As one pastor said, it's quite an epic tale. We see a story of God's miraculous provision, a story of his power, a story of his protection of his church and his people. And through it all, once again, everything points to Christ. Everything points to Christ. The acts of the early church, the disciples, it all points to this greater individual, Jesus. Unhindered living means living for Jesus. Unhindered living means living for Jesus. The book of Acts tells of the story of the birth of Christianity, the beginning spread of the gospel with unhindered, without hindrance, power. Let me read that once again. In Acts 28, 30 to 31, in the NASB, the New American Standard Bible, it uses that word unhindered. It says, he, speaking of Paul here in Rome, under house arrest, a Roman guard there, he, Paul, stayed 2 full years in his own rented quarters and was welcoming all who came to him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching concerning the Lord Jesus Christ with all openness. Unhindered. Let's talk about the scripture just a little bit this morning before we move forward. Scripture says here, Paul stayed 2 full years in his own rented lodging and welcomed all who came. Paul was sent to Rome and he awaited 2 years to be seen by Caesar, Emperor Nero. Paul is sitting under house arrest because he knew that if he was put on trial in Jerusalem, he would most surely be sentenced to death. He said, I appeal to Caesar. And he went here. And for some miraculous great reason, by grace, he's allowed to rent his own lodging. Now, he's still under house arrest. We know from earlier in scripture, he's still under guard. But look what he did. When people came to visit him, he was allowed visitors. Scripture tells us, What he did is he welcomed them with the preaching of the kingdom of God and the teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ. He was preaching and teaching, just like Jesus did throughout his journey upon these grounds, upon the earth. Jesus, throughout his life, was teaching, was preaching of the kingdom of God. Paul did this without hindrance, without hindrance. The NIV, the ESV, most translations use that word, without hindrance. Let's take this a step further. Even when people were not coming into his presence to give him this opportunity to declare of the kingdom of God, he took the opportunity of silence to write letters, the epistles. From prison, you could say, he wrote letters to individuals declaring of the greatness of God, kingdom living. What an example for us. Paul was always ministering. And we too should always be ministering. Let's look to the unhindered messages of Paul here for a moment. Ephesians 5, 15 to 17. I'm going to be sharing a lot of scriptures here this morning as we introduce this idea of unhindered living. And Paul, despite his circumstances, did not hold back from openly, boldly declaring of the kingdom of God. Starting Ephesians 5, 15 to 17, he says this. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity. I want to point out here again, unhindered living. What does it mean to live unhindered, to live without hindrance? What does it mean to live free through Christ? We have it right here. Paul's making it known to us. We don't have to question it very long. Be very careful how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise. What does it mean to be wise? What does it mean? It means making the most of every opportunity, just as he was, welcoming every person who came into his presence with the kingdom of God and teachings of Jesus Christ. What a glorious, glorious thing. What a great challenge for us. But even in those times when people were not in front of him in his presence, he wrote letters. But let's read on. Because the days are evil. You see, just because the days are bad doesn't mean you stop declaring the kingdom living. Just because the days are good doesn't mean you stop declaring of kingdom living and the teachings of Jesus. At all times, every circumstance, we should be living openly, boldly declaring the teachings of Jesus. Therefore, it says, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. That is the Lord's will. Let's go to another scripture. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 to 18. If you're writing down notes, it's up there. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 to 18 says this. Be joyful always. Be joyful always. This is Paul. Someone who many of us could say he is hindered. He's in chains. He's on house arrest. He's imprisoned. He's stuck. How's he live though? Joyful. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. This is how we see Paul live. A face of openness. You see, circumstances should not change our message. Circumstances should not change our message. You are not hindered by your circumstances. Our call remains the same. Philippians 1, 21 tells us, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And then finally, we have Galatians 5, 1. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Notice, it's not the world that enslaves us. It can't. Christ has always already set you free. Through the love of God, we have this available. Live in this truth. How are you living without hindrance? How are you living free like Paul? Remember scripture like Philippians 3, 7 to 9, which says, whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. Anything else in life is rubbish compared to that. It's not that they don't matter. It's just Christ is so much greater. This great worth, this great value that we have is priceless. He goes on here. For whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. Paul's life, his words, these are words of a man at peace, content in his identity, content in his circumstance. Paul is a free man despite being on house arrest. He knows that despite his circumstances, they don't change the fact that he is still free. How often we feel bound in life because we fail to see how we're still freed by Christ. We still have this great hope that our grief cannot take from us. Our struggles cannot take from us. Whatever you're going through, nothing can take away that freedom that Christ has given you. Celebrate that. Colossians 1, 13 to 14 says, he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. You see, God has brought those who were far off once to be near to him through Jesus. And Paul, he is always ministering. Again, a challenge for us, always ministering. He is unhindered, and we too should be unhindered. This is a man unhindered without distraction, despite anything he's going through. This is Paul's message. Over and over and over again, we see it. It's undeniable what he's calling us to do. This is kingdom living. What does kingdom living look like? It looks like what Paul is telling us to live by. Remembering that if the Son has set you free, then you are free indeed. We have a new covenant, friends. A covenant of grace. A covenant of love. Now, we just got done with James. We know that that faith, that love, that grace, that new covenant should lead us into a life full of great works and evidence of our faith. But we must remember that that's not what truly saves us. We're saved even when we're in the pen. We're saved even when we have something holding us back. But throughout life, we're always looking for how do we move forward? How do we break down those obstructions? And a lot of times, those are things which we've placed within our lives. But always remember, Galatians 5:1, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. We are unchanged. We are saved by grace through faith. And this means we now live free and should have kingdom living on our mind. What does kingdom living look like? What does living free look like? Let me give you a few bullet points here. We are free to believe that God can and will act on behalf of his will, his goodness, and for his people. Let me say that again. Kingdom living. I'm driving Jessica nuts. I'm going all over the place here with my slides. Kingdom living means we are free to believe that God can and will act on behalf of his will, his goodness, and for his people. Kingdom living, it means we are free to come to Jesus with anything, with boldness, with confidence. Confidence, knowing that he cares for you. And he wants to lead you to him. Kingdom living, it means we are free to live as beloved sons and daughters, no matter the circumstances we find ourselves in. Kingdom living, it means we are free to enjoy the lives that God has given us. God cares about your enjoyment of life. He does. Kingdom living, it means we are free to count everything else as loss compared to the greatness of knowing Christ. We sang a song this morning, God of Wonders. It's a great song. It's hard to believe. It's 20-some years old already, I believe. It's not a new song anymore. But I think too often in our lives, we sing these words of God of Wonders, but then when you look at how we live, we're not truly recognizing his wonders. We're not acknowledging his greatness. It's an unfortunate truth that many of us become distracted by things of this world. And although we're freed by Christ, our minds are captured by lesser things. Let me say that again. It's an unfortunate truth that so often Although you are freed through Christ, your mind is captured by lesser things. Your eyes are captured by lesser things. Your attention, your time is captured by lesser things. We lose sight of our first love. And then some of us even put the chains of our former lives back on. Galatians 4:8-9 speaks of this, saying, "Formerly, when you did not know God, you were slaves to those who by nature are not gods. But now that you know God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you're turning back to those weak and miserable forces? Do you wish to be enslaved by them all over again?" Obviously, no one wants to return to slavery, but that is just what we do when we continue to go back to what we know is not good for our lives, not good for our family, not good for our relationships with the Lord. It takes us away. It distracts us. It captures our mind by lesser things instead of focusing on the one great thing, and that's the Lord. We can become so self-hindered by our own choices, can't we? I want to say that again. We become self-hindered. We blame lots of other people. We blame lots of other things, but here's the ultimate thing. You do have a choice in who or what your allegiances lie in. We are always welcome to return to Christ, though. Let me say that again. The beauty of being set free is we are always welcome to return to Christ. That's another thing that kingdom living looks like. Kingdom living means we always return to Jesus. When we wander far, wide, close, wherever it may be, we run back and run his race. Run with him, the perfecter of your faith. As Hebrews 12:3 says, "Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith." I just can't say this enough. So often we act like we don't know how to live. "Lord, just show me the way," we pray. "Show me your will." Here it is. Don't live hindered. Live without hindrance. Live without distraction. Throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and run with perseverance a race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. And as we do that, and I'm going to get to the next slide in a moment, Jessica, I promise. But as we do that, remember Paul, who welcomed all. And as he welcomed them, he declared of the kingdom of God, what it means to have kingdom living. He taught Jesus. So often in life, we're failing to do that very first thing. And yet we're asking God, "What's next? What's next? What's next?" What are you doing right now? What are you doing right now with where I've placed you, who I've placed in your life, and what you have? Let's talk about the lavished love of God for a moment. That's our final point today. God has given us a great wealth in his love. And Ephesians 3, 1-10 speaks of this. And I wrote this on the slide for you because I figured it's just too much. Although I'd put it pretty small. Follow along. "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Look to these lavished loves, wealth, value. "He has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight." I know we don't like to think about ourselves this way, but you can be seen as holy, set apart, blameless through Christ, a saint set apart by his love. Let's read on. I mean, but what a wealth, what a value. "For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his light. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves." Freely given us. Freely. That's amazing. Praise be to God, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished, there's that word here, lavished on us, we're going to talk about that, with all wisdom and understanding. He made known to us the mystery of his will. We don't have to try and figure this out. Through the Holy Spirit's guidance, his help and understanding, we know of the mysteries. It's not a mystery, not at all. According to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ Jesus. I want to talk about the word lavish for a moment. Lavish, it means to bestow generous or extravagant quantities. Generous or extravagant quantities. You see, God has given you a great wealth, a precious thing. He has lavished these things on you, meaning he didn't just give you one thing, two things, three things. He has extravagantly blessed you. You are extravagantly blessed through his love and through Christ. And this extravagant blessing is not to be hindered by anything of this world. Self-imposed or not, it's not to be hindered. We're extravagantly blessed for kingdom living. Kingdom living. But one question we must ask ourselves, are we recognizing what we have? I speak for myself as well as I think you that too often we don't take a moment to just recognize how extravagantly, lavishly blessed we are. As we wrap up today, I just want you to think about that idea today of freely living, living free, unhindered kingdom living. What's holding you back? How are you living for the kingdom of God? How are you being like Paul, who was welcoming to all who came to him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching concerning the Lord Jesus Christ with all openness, unhindered, without distraction? We welcome a lot of people into our homes. We welcome a lot of people into our lives. And I think every single time God in some way is saying, look, look at the person right in front of you. Look at the group right in front of you. Look at where I've placed you. Open your eyes to the glorious opportunity you have to declare my love. We give them food. We give them worldly help, worldly advice. But we don't often just tell them about our Jesus. Tell them about Jesus. But don't forget to also within your very own life, recognize and appreciate the lavished wealth that you have in God yourself. What's holding you back today? What obstacles are hindering your faith? Eliminate the obstacles. And remember that if you feel like your sins are what's holding you back, you just keep going back to what you know is bad for you. You know what keeps you away from the life God wants you to live. Find a way to eliminate those. Seek help. And the great thing, again, good news, you don't have to do it alone. God's placed people in your life to help you. Remember, the beauty of living free and the glory of being loved is that we are always welcome to return to Jesus. Toss aside the hindrances, toss away the sin that entangles you, and run to Jesus. Run with Jesus. Run for kingdom living. And remember, if the Son has set you free, you're free indeed. Live free. Live free with the extravagant blessings, the extravagant love of which you have, beyond counting, beyond measure. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for your word today and the reminder that we have that if we are hindered, it's because we're self-hindering ourselves, Lord. Sin need not control us. The world need not control us. You have extravagantly blessed your followers with riches beyond number, beyond count. Lord, may we live and appreciate and recognize these things, but may we also declare them. And Lord, I just pray for a challenge for myself and all of us today. May we consider the life of Paul here in Acts 28, 30 to 31, who, even though being imprisoned, being on a house arrest, everyone who came in his presence, he welcomed with teachings of the kingdom and teachings of Christ. May we do the same. May we live for you. May we teach your word. May we teach and live with the great commission in our mind at all times. Thank you, Lord, for your love. Thank you for Jesus. Amen. Please stand. Let's sing together one final song. Truths to remember. Again, this week as you leave, I just have to remind you that unhindered living, kingdom living means you're free to believe that God can and will act on your behalf for his will, for his goodness, for his people. It means you're free to come to Jesus with anything, with boldness, with confidence. It means you're free to live as beloved sons and daughters, no matter what circumstance you're in. Remind yourself, you are a son, a daughter of God. And remember, it also means you're free to enjoy the lives that God has given you. And you're free to count everything else as loss compared to the great lavish riches of God. And when all else fails, when you feel like your life is just entangled by sin, entangled by your circumstances, remember, you can always return to Jesus. Cry out to him, Lord, you are my all in all. Forgive me and help me to walk forward by your grace, by your mercy, by your love, by your power, guide me, lead me, lead me. Thank you for joining us for worship. Stick around for Sunday school. We'd love to have you join us.